Amen. May our life, our daily life, be a worship to God. As the choir is returning to their seats, if you would turn with me to John chapter 21. It's in the Pew Bible on page 1687. John chapter 21, we'll start in verse 1. And we kind of just have been progressing through the book of John from Resurrection Sunday, so we'll just wrap up the book of John. John chapter 21, starting in verse 1, John writes, "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them, and they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish." It's, as I was studying and reading this, it's kind of interesting that sometimes fishermen back then would leave somebody on the shore because of the glare, and depending on the lighting, they from the shore they would actually be able to see the fish instead of the guys in the boat. So Jesus is like, "Hey, you're throwing your net on the wrong side. Throw it on the other side, because that's where they all are." So as you can see, Jesus was right. Just throwing that out there. Jesus was right. In case you're wondering, Jesus is always right. Then the disciple who loved Jesus said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciple followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There were there with fish on it and some bread, and Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yeah, Jesus is right always, if you didn't know that. I just thought I would throw that out there to you. This passage of Scripture is a really interesting passage of Scripture. We have Jesus raising from the dead, hanging out with his disciples on a couple of occasions. And so here we see the disciples out fishing. Peter decides to go fishing. A bunch of the other disciples decide to follow him. They're all out fishing. They catch nothing. Jesus shows up and says, hey, throw. And they end up catching a whole lot of fish. And what's hysterical is if you read through Scripture, you read through the Gospels, you know Peter is very hot-headed half the time. Quick to make decisions, you know, he just kind of does things his own way and doesn't really care, right? And so they're in the, now if we think about this, they're in their boat, they're fishing, they're in the water, and Jesus is on land. John goes, hey, it's Jesus. So what does Peter do? He puts his outer garment on to be able to formally address a religious figure. So Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to shore. When he's already in the boat, and all they got to do is row to shore. So by the time Peter swims to shore, the other guys have made it to the shore. I mean, but Peter was so excited to see Jesus. He was willing to jump out of a perfectly good boat and swim to shore when he had to get to shore in the first place just to be with Jesus, which is, you know, a nice example for us. How, at what lengths are we willing to go to be with Jesus? Are we willing to just jump out of a boat and swim? Just asking. So here we have Jesus is there. They bring the boat in, and they eat their breakfast, you know. And Jesus is just lounging, having a nice conversation, you know, like he used to do with all of them. And so they're there, but we have to actually think of the tension building in this situation. What had happened a finite amount of time prior to this, Jesus' trial, right? Peter was there. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. Peter said, nope, not going to do it. Right? The cock crows. Peter denies him three times, but it says in one of them, I forget which one, it says, when the cock crowed, Peter looked, turned and looked, and Jesus turned and looked, and Jesus' eyes met Peter's eyes. And the sheer horror of what he had just done suddenly struck Peter. I mean, think about that. The sudden horror of denying him suddenly hitting. So this is the backdrop to this situation. So here they are, and you got to think of what's going on in Peter's head. I'm a dead man, right? Think about it. I'm a dead man, right? I'm sitting here with the man I betrayed, and we're having breakfast in a casual setting. I'm dead. When is Jesus going to bring up the, you know, there's that proverbial white elephant in the corner of the room. Everybody knows it's there, but nobody talks about it. Well, think about that. Everybody knows what had happened, and Peter's just waiting for the hammer to fall, does he not? He's just, I mean, I can imagine the anguish and just his emotions being up here, just waiting on Jesus to go, so Peter, you did it, didn't you? Uh-huh. Right? That's what he's expecting. But look at what happens, though. Jesus, reclining, having breakfast, turns in and goes, hey, Peter. But here's what's funny, though. Remember? Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, right? Meaning the rock, right? How does Jesus address Peter in this context? Simon, son of John. There's a slap in the face. No longer did Jesus call him the rock. He called him Simon, son of John, which is his name when they first met. So Jesus, at the end of the day, is taking him back to the very, very beginning of their relationship. We're going to start over. I'm going to give you a second chance. We are starting over. So hey, Simon, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Hey, Simon, do you truly love me? Yes, Lord. Hey, Simon, do you love me? And then it says Peter was hurt because Jesus, he was hurt on the inside. And the interesting dynamic, if you study this out, the interesting dynamic in this is that
John, in this conversation, Jesus is using one Greek word for love, and Peter's using the other Greek word for love. And this is an interesting interaction because there are really three Greek words for love, but in this context, they're using two. One is agape love. Agapeo is agape love, which is to esteem love, indicating a direction of the will in finding one's joy in something or someone. Right? We talk about God's love, John 3:16. So God loved the world. And it says, as reference to superiors and including the idea of duty, respect, veneration, meaning to love and serve with fidelity, used of loving the Lord and its being faithful disciples or followers. And it's also love that expresses compassion. And it's for us, agape love, when it says love our enemies, it means to love for humans means to see or discern what the need is and to meet that need, not according to the object's concept of need, but of the one who loves. So in the context for us, in John 3:16, it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God knew we had a need that we could not meet ourselves. So he had to take the initiative. God loved us unconditionally. We didn't earn his love. He knew we had a need and he met it. And then Jesus says, love your enemies, right? So we're supposed to love them in a way that we want to see the best for them. We want what's we know they have a need and we feel compelled or have compassion to meet that need. It doesn't mean we like them, but we love them. We don't want to see ill of them. That's agape love, not wanting to see ill of someone else. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, right? He did not want to see God's wrath or punishment on those that hung him up there. He had compassion, love for them. He wanted to see what's best for them, even though they had done that. So that's loving our enemies. Now, the other word for love in this context is philia, which is where we get Philadelphia. It's brotherly love. It is loved. Dear friend, to have affection for someone, to be fond of, to like, to have common interest, or to befriend. Filial love is to be friends with, to have the same interests. All right? So, filial love is brotherly love, right? We may not like our enemies, but we're supposed to love them, but we're also not going to ask them to be our friends. Right? We're kind of particular with who we make friends with, right? Back in high school, all of us, we would kind of pick and choose our friends, those people that had common interests with us, did we not? Somebody that didn't have common interests, why would you want to be friends? When you hang out, what do you talk about? What do? Nothing. So to befriend or to have brotherly love is to have that connection that, hey, we're friends, we have common interests, we have a bond, right? We can pick our friends. But we're supposed to love everyone, but we're picky and we're picky about who our friends are. We only let a certain amount of people get close enough to say, hey, we're friends, right? We do that, do we not? Right? So here in the context, so here we go, verses 15, 16, and 17. Jesus talking to Peter goes, hey, Simon, do you agape love me? Peter's response, I brotherly love you, right? Remember, just before the Last Supper, Jesus, when in John, that whole discourse, he called them, you are no longer my disciples, my servants, but I call you friends, right? Remember that? John, in that passage, right? Jesus called his disciples his friends. So Peter's going, you betcha, I'm your friend. Which, calling somebody your friend goes a little bit deeper than just loving them because they're part of the human race. Does it not? But Peter had the, for lack of better words, audacity. Peter had the Peterness in him to go, you betcha, Jesus, I am your friend. He goes, you betcha. So here, Here Peter is thinking he has the right to call himself a friend of God. So, the next one, verse 16. Jesus, do you agape love me? Will you love me? Will you follow me? Will you be my faithful follower? Will you have respect and duty and all that? All of those things. Do you love me like that? And Peter goes, you betcha, Jesus, I'm your friend. Filio. Agape filio. Agape filio. And then finally, the last one, Jesus looks, I mean, if you think about it, in the piercing eyes of Jesus, he looks at Peter and goes, Peter, are you really my friend? Really? Are you my friend? Do you have my best interest at heart? Are we on the same page? Are you going to hitch your cart to my horses and be in it to win it with me? Are you really? And at that point, it finally sunk into Peter, and it hurt here. Peter finally got it. Here. He finally got it in here. I messed up. But notice how Jesus did it lovingly. He didn't smack Peter upside the head and go, what were you thinking? He didn't call him out in front of his other fellow believers. He lovingly, slowly got to Peter's heart. And Peter got it. And he was hurt in here. His heart ached. And he goes, Jesus, you know because you're God that I love you. But also you know from all of our experiences over the last 3.5 years, I love you. You know both intuitively because you're God and experientially because I followed you. You know I do. You know I'm your friend. And what did Jesus say? Once Jesus knew that Peter got it, he said, follow me. Follow me. The exact same words Jesus said to Peter when he met him by the sea, and he said, follow me. And in this context, follow me means to be in the same way with a company, to follow one who proceeds, to join him as his attendant, to join one as a disciple, to become or be his disciple, side with his party, and a disciple is nothing more than a pupil or learner. So Jesus said, will you give up, just like he asked him at the beginning, will you give up your life, take up my way? Will you give up who you are and what you do, and will you follow me? And based on the way it's written, Peter had to turn and look to see John following. So Jesus had gotten up and started walking away. Follow me. Will you follow me? Will you become my learner, my follower? Will you hitch your horse to me? Will you hitch your wagons up to my horses? Will you follow me? Since you claim to be my friend again, and since I'm going to call you my friend again, will you follow me? Scripture says we are to take up our cross and follow him, are we not? That's what he's asking. Jesus stood up and started walking. And John started to follow, so of course Peter gets bent out of shape. Says, what about him? And Jesus said, You don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. You worry about you. Because right now, you have enough problems with yourself. Don't worry, right? But notice what did Jesus do? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And finally, Peter got it. It went from up here to down here. Peter called him the Christ. He did all these wild things. But he still had himself to get over. Jesus knew that. That's why he said, you're going to deny me. Oh yeah, I'm your friend. I'll, right? right before Jesus was arrested. What did Peter do? Swore up and down that, I'll defend you, I'll fight for you, I'll hack all these people to death to keep you safe. Made all these boastful claims, yet he still had himself to get over. And finally, after sitting with the Master, sitting with Jesus over breakfast, getting asked three times, when Jesus finally said, Peter, seriously, dude, are you my friend? Really? That hurt him. It was loving. He didn't chastise him. He asked him a simple question. Are you really my friend? Amen. And it hurt him. And what did Peter say? He goes, you know I truly do. Jesus knew what he was getting when he asked Peter to sign up. He knew what he was getting. Peter, do you think Jesus was surprised by anything Peter did? Not in the slightest. He knew what he was getting when he asked Peter to sign up on his team. But he said, are you my friend? Peter finally got it in his heart and said, he goes, you know it. You know I truly am. Peter knew he had his issues, but he knew he loved Jesus. That's all Jesus cared about. Admit you got an issue. Love me anyways. I will take care of the rest. It's really too easy. Will and Jesus, and so for us today, Jesus' question still holds. Will we follow our Lord? Can we follow Him and dedicate ourselves to Him to the point where God chooses to call us His friend? We can't call God our friend. A, He's God. B, He's God. And we're not. And C, He's God. Right? Only God can actually say somebody is His friend. Why? Because God sees the heart. God sees the heart. He knows what's in here. The good news for us is He still wants to call us His friend. Even though we may slip up, stumble, goof up, mess up, have an occasional brain lapse like Peter, He knows all that. He gets it. He understands. And at the end of the day, He really doesn't care, because at the end of the day, He's going to ask us the same question. Do you really love me? And if we can look in our heart and go, yeah, with everything that's about me that I don't like, I love you more than anything, Jesus goes, you're my friend. And the good news is he's not stunned by anything he sees or finds in us. He knows it's there. He knew Peter's personality. He knew his temperament. He knew all of Peter's faults and failings. And guess what? He said, are you really my friend? We can be friends with Jesus today. He expects us to follow Him. And He expects our heart. When we give Jesus our heart, He knows we love Him. And even though we may slip up, His grace is sufficient. He gets it, He understands, and loves us anyway. So at the end of the day, we can sit down and go, yeah, I kind of screwed that one up today, didn't I? And God will go, yeah, you did. And we'll go, I'm sorry. He'll go, I know. And we'll go, I love you. He goes, I know. And I forgive you. We'll do better tomorrow. Do you trust me? Will you follow me? And Jesus will start turning and He'll start walking, and all He expects us to do is go, I'm right behind you. I'm coming. And when we do that, good news is He takes care of the rest, because He's God. And He has agape love. He loves us no matter what we do.
That's not a free license to do whatever we want. It's not. But the good news is His grace is sufficient to help us in the journey until we stand before Him and go, "Hi." And then He shows up and we go, "It's Him." We'll fall down on our face and He'll go, "Welcome. I've been waiting on you." Amen. And that'll be a great day, but do we love Jesus and will we follow Him? And His grace is sufficient to help us. Amen.